business, Platinum Consulting Group, Cindy.
Did you want me to just introduce myself?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Cindy Byram. I think I've already introduced myself to all of you. I'm the founder of Platinum Consulting Group. We started in 2006. I started my career auditing most of the Riverside area from the Ernst & Young office locally. Founded my own firm, started working with smaller governments, started specializing in water. Water is my passion. I love water. I do have some clients that are not water, that are governments, but primarily water. In this area, I have, I'm the part-time finance director for 29 Palms Water District, Bighorn Desert View Water District, and Landers and Salton Sea Authority are my current desert clients. I have worked with Coachella in the past in this area. I have 5 permanent staff that work under me at multiple places, stretching from Corona to the city of Signal Hill. So we're pretty much all over the Southland. That's it. I mean, I'm happy to be here. We are preparing right now what we've been doing since I came on about a month ago. When we took over for Linda's, we've been preparing for the audit. Little bit of cleanup, working a little bit on kind of procedural things from her work papers, and working on a 5-year plan, financial plan, looking at the budget, which we'll bring at the next board meeting. I'm happy to answer any questions you have for me of my firm or what we do or what we've been doing.
Any questions?
Welcome.
Yeah, that would be
okay.
Keep in touch.
Okay. I will.
The next item on it is a discussion action about approving a contract to perform a water rate study and workshop.
Do you want to introduce this, or do you want to introduce this, or do you want me to?
NBS Government Finance Group is a professional water rates study service, and if you look at your contract towards the back, it will describe the different objectives they have while they're conducting a water rate study and making recommendations. I think at this point, I'll have Cindy brief you about their services, and she, along with our engineering firm, and have recommended NBS.
Okay. Yeah, I've worked with NBS at, I think, 3 different clients doing rate studies. They're typically, I don't perform rate studies. Rate studies, people that do them really have to be experts in that field because they can be complex. There's a lot of laws and Prop 218 that you have to follow and various things, methodology. So they are very reasonably priced compared to some of the other rate consultants, which is nice. I work very well with them. Their team is a small team. I'm finalizing a rate study with them right now on Friday, and everything's gone fairly smoothly. So what they would do is help the district first start with a long-range financial plan, is to say, let's project out 5, 10, 20 years and see what your revenue requirements are. Certainly when they look at that, they always see, you know, they're gonna look at if your rates are not adjusted and they are what they are today, where will you be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? That's kind of the first step. Then the second step would be to say, okay, this is your revenue requirement, and what type of rate adjustments might you need to get there? So it's kind of a 2-step process, and then kind of the last step is then they would take that and assign that to the different customer classes. Since your district is primarily single family residential and same meter size of 5/8, it should be fairly simple. Some of my other studies are far more complex. So I think they'll do a very good job. They've given us a very competitive price. I can tell you that when I used them recently at 29 Palms, we paid double what they are offering to do for Cabazon. So I thought that was nice.
For a district of our size, since we primarily have just the 5/8 lines, how, I mean, is that going to come under the 15 grand?
I think it'll come at the 15,000. Part of some of the stuff that they have to do is build the model, and it doesn't matter if you're, you know, twice as large or five times as large. Some of that base work still has to get done. I can't imagine that it ends up being any cheaper.
This is, yeah, to be no more than 15 grand.
Right. Usually when they quote that, that's what it comes in at. I believe at a couple of my districts, I know that they spent over what they quoted us, and they just kind of ate the cost. Most of the consultants aren't doing that anymore because everybody is looking at their rates more closely, and everybody's getting these rate studies. They are becoming more, what's the word?
Accurate.
Yeah, well, more marketable too. They don't have to. They say, look, we're not going to lower our price on this, or we're not going to absorb the cost. You know, the cost is what it is.
So it's not a flat rate. They kind of looked at our area and said, this is what we can do for your size town?
Yeah, this is how much, yeah, because they kind of look at our data and say, okay, tell us about your district, tell us about what's going on, and then they estimate this is how much it'll cost them. And they kind of do out a schedule of here's how many hours we're going to spend in each area and so on to justify that. In my experience, they usually end up spending more than those hours, but they don't bill you more. The only time they will bill you more is if there's something substantial, like there's a substantial change midway where there's a complete change in methodology or policy, or, you know, then they have to go back and do significant rework. I have had that happen once at one of my clients with them, and what they billed us extra was not unreasonable at all, and it was fair because we did make major changes and delays.
The Sustainable Groundwater Act been taken into consideration in this? Also, what fees we might be impacted with paying those different?
I have already factored that into the budget that we will be bringing back next November, and it will be factored in as a variable where you can, a lot of the way this they'll build their model is variable, so we can see how, if you include it, it impacts the budget, or if you don't include it, how it impacts the budget.
Okay, so because of my question would be also with the Water Alliance,
mm-hmm.
and or that joint powers, I'm just using the word joint powers as an all-encompassing.
Sure.
Anything that we're kind of got our finger in right now that we have to be aware of, it's going to add additional costs. Those will be taken into consideration.
Absolutely. What they will do is bring back to you, here are all the costs we considered. Here's where you look going out, and usually they can do it with a great degree of accuracy for 5 years. Beyond that, it's just an estimate. Here's kind of what a district of your size, perhaps your base operating cash should be, and maybe your base cash set aside for any major capital, and here's your shortage. Or if you're blessed, here's your excess. I haven't had a client that's blessed yet. Costs always go up, but revenues don't necessarily. So then that's kind of really the first step, is to see where you're at, given if you don't do anything, and then determine where do you need to be to get to a place where you're keeping that minimum cash balance where you feel secure and comfortable, and that reserve on hand is appropriate.
Mr. President, can I add something for the board's consideration?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what you thought of.
Oh, thank you. Well, we put together this agreement. We use a standard template on these kind of professional services agreements. So we provided this to the consultant, I think it was about a week ago, and we haven't heard back from them yet, so I don't know whether they're busy doing other things or pulling their hair out trying to figure out how to change our rules. So what we would recommend, if the board is inclined to adopt or approve this agreement, is to adopt it subject to any further changes that are acceptable to legal counsel and the general manager, just in case they come back to us and want to change a few things.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff is pretty, even though it's a long document, most of it is the scope of work that they gave us.
Okay.
And the rest of it, even though it's legalese, it's the stuff that we think it has. So we'll get in a little bit, but...
We got this right before the meeting.
Oh, well, they went ahead and signed it. I didn't realize that. Oh, I apologize.
It just came.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, then the board can approve it, and we're as is. So excuse me for not knowing that.
It came in this afternoon.
Oh, okay. I apologize for about that. So, terrific. They saved you a bunch of legal fees. I don't have to negotiate with them.
That's good.
So they're saving you money already.
All right.
Well, since we just got what the scope of work was going to be, I'd like to actually read over what the scope of work is going to be before we agree to it. Because I went through the document that was all the legalese, and they have to have it into insurance and that insurance. So I haven't had a chance to actually look over it to see what we're going to be getting for some of this.
I can tell you that I agree with Cindy that even though it's a little bit of money, it is on the cheap end of what these folks charge these days for all the work they have to do to put this together. What happens in California is every 10 years, you're required by law to undertake a written rate study like this. Most districts do more often than that. They do it every time. They're going to increase rates every 5 years or considering increasing rates. But you have to do it by law every 10 years, and you haven't done it any time recently. You certainly didn't do it with your last increase. So bear that part.
So do we know when the last time we did one of these ones?
You did, I don't know, I can't recall you doing one where you hired an outside consultant. What's happened in the last 15 or 20 years is that because of Proposition 218, which is part of the California Constitution, the requirements to make one of these studies comply with the law has gone from, you know, the things used to be 20 pages long, and now they're 500 pages long. That's an exaggeration, probably 100 pages long. There's a lot more required, there's a lot of court cases describing what needs to be undertaken in order to describe the fact that you're receiving the service, the benefit of the services you're paying for, and a customer level, all that kind of thing. It just goes on and on and on. You know, they pile it on in Sacramento, and so down here at the local level, we're stuck with having to pay for a consultant to write up these studies that are going to pass muster. It's just, it's more complicated in the year. That's what they are.
I think the last water rate study was on, when I was on the board the last time, when it was done by Craig and Stewart, along with their office.
Yeah, and that might have been, gosh, how long ago were we? 8 years ago?
Probably.
8 or 10 years ago. Probably 10 years ago.
Okay, so what you're wanting to do is table this until you can review it.
Yeah, I'd like to at least read over what exactly they're going to do. So since we're such a small district, that's a big plus.
Right. Do you see an emphasis on expediting or waiting until the next month?
Well, my only suggestion, I defer to Calvin and Cindy and Ellie on this, is that, you know, we get closer to holidays. If they don't start ramping up before we get to the holidays, then all of a sudden it slips and they're not starting until January, and all of a sudden we're in the summer and the fall, and you know how that goes. So just whatever the board wants to do, whatever your desire is, but the sooner the better in some sense.
Well, it says they have 150 days to do it, so they're taking 5 months to do it, so we're not going to get it until...
Right, we put an outside date on it because we didn't want them to put us at the bottom of the pile. I wrote that in. But that's the end date, but obviously that 150 days, the clock doesn't start ticking until you approve it.
Yeah.
I need a motion to table.
I was going to say, can we just take maybe 10 minutes and that way we can all look over it?
How many pages is this? This is 21 pages. I'm not going to be able to go into this in 10 minutes.
The contract's actually 11 pages.
Well, the contract, I've already gone over the contract because we have the contract. But
she's talking about
the scope of what they're actually going to do.
Can I make a suggestion, regardless of whether you table it or not, since you have Cindy here and she's familiar with this, and I don't want to put her on the spot, but maybe it might be helpful in your review, whether it's now or later, for her to kind of explain a few of these pages to you. Would that be of any service to the board? And because I'm sure she's seen these before. I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
Oh,
Cindy,
thanks, Steve. No, that's
you do.
Would you like me to go over any of it now?
I haven't even.
I know.
I wouldn't know to tell you where to start. But.
So, I mean, I can do that the next meeting, or I can do that now, because I have read their proposals and several times, so, but I can give you an overview, and then maybe it'll help when you read it to make more sense. So they start off in their proposal saying, all right, here's, as we understand it, what your current rate structure is. And then they kind of have this caveat saying, we'll work with the district to make sure it's Prop 218 compliant, it's defensible, it's transparent, and our report at the end communicates exactly how we prepared your rates. And so when you get to page 3 of their proposal, when they talk about cost of service, see how they have 1, 2, 3, those three steps? The first step is that revenue requirement, and that's when they would, after we work with them to project out for a certain amount of years, that's when they would come in and show you, here's what your revenue requirement is. This is not unique, by the way, to them. This is how all rate consultants do it. They do it in these kind of three steps. So then once we get there, the next step is called their cost of service analysis, and that's where they take all of your costs and they assign them to the different customer classes, which, like you said, in your case will be easy because you have mostly 5/8 meters. And then they work with, they look at certain costs to determine how much should your fixed rate be, how much should your variable rate be, and they're gonna develop scenarios so you as a board can decide that. They're not deciding it, but they're gonna give you some alternatives. They're going to assign those costs, give you some alternatives, and then what rate structure should you have? Oftentimes, that's step 3. During that process, some of my boards have completely changed their rate structure. Up at 29 Palms Water District, we wanted to go to a tiered rate structure, but we found during the rate study that it was very hard to defend that because we only had one source of supply. And so it wasn't defensible following Prop 218. So they'll look at what can we defend should you were to get sued, or what follows the law and the California Constitution. So that's kind of the process. They have the different tasks here that they list. So they do have a kickoff meeting where they'll come meet with us. They gather a lot of data. A lot of it is going to be on LE, where they're going to say, we need all of this out of your billing system. We need consumption history. They're going to be looking to me to say, give us this year's budget. We want to see projections for 5 years. What assumptions are you using? They'll build the assumptions right into their model, just like I build it into my plan, too. We make sure our plans mirror. They will... on the next page, they talk about reviewing our current rates. They're going to look at your policies, too, and say what that's during this process, too, where they'll assess, do you have a current operating reserve policy in place or a capital reserve policy in place? We did have one. Again, 29 Palms is an example, but the policies we had in place were really not sufficient. And so they recommended increasing one of them a little bit more, the capital reserve, than what we had currently had for a district of that size. And then the financial plan is a 20-year model that's going to project out 20 years. And so we make a lot of different assumptions. Like, for example, we might have different healthcare rate assumptions. It's going to go up a certain amount. Inflation assumptions, salaries might be a different rate, and so on.
Is that a projection of 20 years on what they're assuming the one rate jump will be?
What they do is they don't assume any rate increase. Okay. They're just going to do the projection saying, if you do nothing, here's your cost for the next 20 years. And then it kind of backs into what's your shortage. And then that helps you to back into, okay, well, what overall increase are we looking at, you know, or adjustment would we need to get to zero? To get to where you've met your cash reserve, you've met your, and you're at zero. You're at net revenue neutrality, so to speak. So they look at that in the financial plan, and then on page 5, they've got kind of a good example of a summary of, they do like, here's your source of money, here's your use of money, and then you see there's a line that says surplus or deficiency before rate increase. And that's really where they're trying to show you, okay, if you do nothing, here's where you will be in 5 years or however many years. And then, so here's the additional revenue you need, and then that kind of backs into what adjustment you may need, if any. So they'll give you kind of that plan. They'll come and give you that overall picture and talk about the assumptions used and putting that together. And then below that, they show like the reserve fund balances and where they will go. And then they kind of give you a graph that shows you, okay, here's the plan to get there. They have some nice visuals. And then after you as a board see that and see how it was and are comfortable with the way that plan was put together, then on page 6, that's where they start that cost of service analysis, where they're going to take your costs and they're going to split them out into different components. Some will be assigned to capacity, like this is your base capacity. And then some will be assigned to your commodity charge. Like you have your certain fixed charges and your variable charges. They kind of do that analysis to see what costs are really related to selling more water, but what costs are there no matter what you do. And then they allocate those different costs to the customer classes. They look at a variety of allocation factors on the next page where they might talk about you're looking at what's your peak water usage and how the assigned costs will depend on what that peak is. It looks like, to me, when I look through your books and how the revenue has flown, it looks like you have a pretty constant demand, so it doesn't fluctuate significantly by season. And then task 5 here, they have their rate design. So they're going to look at, based on your factors, what's the best rate design that, you know, is just defensible. And usually they try and accommodate your current rate structure. Usually there's a reason why your rate structure is in place. But if they feel that there's, for some reason, it's not defensible, then that may necessitate a follow-up meeting with them for them to come in and meet with you as a governing body to say, this is what we found, and this is what we think would be more defensible. Going through the next couple of pages, they look at a bunch of factors. If you go to page 9, because I know a lot of my boards, when they get to this chart, they go, what? This is where they're just taking these rate consultants. They follow that AWWA M1 manual, it's called, which is a manual on basic practices on how to set rates. It's widely accepted in the United States. And they'll use a base meter, a 3/4 meter, and then all the other meters have what's called a hydraulic capacity factor, and that's how they help assign the different rates to the different meters. What you're worried about here is your 5/8 meters. That's the majority of your customers. That's where the majority of the costs are going to be assigned. So that's not going to be a complex part of this process at all for them. Then they'll look at tiers, your existing tiers, how that shakes out, and then they will propose the rate adjustments. And if you look on the next page, in their final report or presentation when they come to you, they'll show you, based on what they're proposing, what a bill change will look like, so that you have an idea what the impact on your customers will be. In some cases, it sounds like it's a huge increase, and then you look and it's less than a cup of coffee a month, you know, but so it's sometimes it just shows perspective. And they'll do it by each customer class as well, so each customer class can see their different changes and how that works out. And then page 11 on task 6, So they prepare that written report. That written report is probably what takes them a lot of the time too. That has to be a very strong report, and I'm sure Steve can speak to this, is that if any of our rates were contested, that judge sits with that report alone, and that's it, and has to be able to understand how we put together those rates. So the goal of that report is to take that judge and your customers step by step as to what we did, what we considered, and what assumptions we made to get to this proposed rate.
Well, the statute of
statute of limitations is run in your existing rates because you adopted it so many years ago. But what's happened over the last few years is there's been some important cases at the California Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals. And if you try to boil it all down, what sounds kind of silly, but what a lot of judges have said is, we want you to take all that accounting and math and turn that into narrative written English. And we want you to write it out so not only I as a judge can understand it, but anybody can understand it. And it's really difficult to explain something that's so complicated and full of assumptions in the everyday English. It's not a simple thing to do it in such a way that you're accurately depicting what is said. And there's different categories of explanations that have to go on. And so I agree with Cindy that they have all this work to do, but they can do all the accounting and math and really not easy, but they can do that because it's what they do every day. But this narrative stuff, what the courts want now is the difficult.
Yeah, I've even had a hard time reading them and understanding and asking questions. I mean, I'm at the point now where I do understand the report, but at first it was just, it was pretty challenging. But they've made them better and better. They will come to the two workshops they put in their proposal. I would suggest the first workshop with the board would be the one to go over the long-range financial plan. Then they go back to work on their cost of service analysis. Then they come back with some proposed rate adjustments or structure. And then at that point, that's for the board to decide, should a rate adjustment be needed. Then we would design the Prop 218 notice with BB&K's help that would go out to all of your customers. There's a 45-day notice period, and then 45 days after that notice period, the board would convene again to vote on any rate adjustments. So that's kind of the process. It's the process no matter who we hire. They're going to all go through that same process.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a suggestion to the board. If you're in favor of tabling it to allow Director Wargo to review this, perhaps included in that motion should be another special meeting, maybe within the next week, because as I said, I've earmarked, hopefully this will be completed by February 2017. And one of the reasons is because look at where 4 months past passing a fiscal year budget, and the board should frown against practices such as this. And it takes time to complete and present to the board and for the board to decide and approve a proposed fiscal year budget. So I think earmarking in February 2017 to have this completed is not beyond unreasonable. It allows Cindy and my staff and her staff to work on the fiscal year budget for 2017 to 2018.
Well, I had a motion on the floor to table that. Come on, but no second. So I'd second that. I still want to transfer from this. We need to meet again, so this gets done before sending another motion.
No, we would do a special meeting, not just call for a special meeting.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just
no, it's okay.
Kind of over it,
it's
yeah, it's fine.
All that.
So,
So we have a motion to table this, and then we'll call a special meeting in a week.
So next Tuesday.
A motion to table this item, made by Director Lee, seconded by Director Wargo.
1 week would be October 25th, next Tuesday.
I plan to be here anyways. I have 29 Palms business on Wednesday. If your auditors were here, I was going to come meet with them on Tuesday.
Well, let's deal with the table by motion, then I can call a special meeting.
She'll be here anyways.
I probably will be here anyways for the audit, so I'm happy to come, but I understand you don't need me specially here for that.
Right, so I'm just going to call a special meeting for Tuesday at 4 o'clock.
I won't be here.
You won't? Oh. Wednesday?
Wednesday, I'm on.
Wednesday?
Monday?
Okay, you're on your own.
Can you do Monday?
I got to check with my boss.
What is your schedule?
2 to 11.
All week?
That's what I work for now on, except for my days off.
You have your days off Friday, Saturday, or Saturday, and Sunday?
It's different every week.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just schedule it for Monday. Just get it done.
That's 2 weeks, isn't it? No.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
It's can you believe it's next week?
It's next week.
That's what we're doing, right?
Next week.
Oh, it's not the 31st. It's the week after.
Oh, thank God.
Next Monday is the 25th. I'm saying,
can
we? Okay, so what day are we doing? Monday the 31st
or
the
25th?
Monday, October 24th at 4 p.m.
Right, so that means you have to post it tomorrow. Right?
You got 24 hours notice for a special meeting.
All right.
Okay. Okay. Nice to meet you.
You too. Take care.
I'm going to head out. Nice to meet you all.
Nice to meet you.
See you next time.
Monday the
24th at 4 p.m. Correct. I'll go up this way.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. How long is it going to take? 5 minutes. Really? I could be working too, but actually it's taking 4 hours. It's going to take.
Sure.
Personal time. Everything's personal in a sense.
Can he hear my phone?
No, no. He'd have to post where he's calling in from and do all that stuff. He can if you want.
Kind of
silly, yeah. You want to go on the Home Depot?
No.
Come install publicly.
Well, you can't go install because that's men only, right? Can't do that.
Next item on the agenda is the discussion action, the schmoozing by the attorney. Best Best and Krieger client appreciation day on Wednesday, November 30th at the Ralph Brennan Jazz Kitchen, downtown Disney Business District.
You're all invited, whoever wants to show up. I guess Calvin has taken names. And thanks for considering.
Is that in Disney?
No.
Well, no, it's not inside. It's okay. The little mall outside.
Oh. Okay.
The little mall.
If I remember, I think it's out there.
What is this? What can you explain down here in the 700?
So we do a client dinner every year in conjunction with the Association of California Water Agencies Conference. And they move that around every year somewhere in Southern California. But we're just advising you in advance that when we provide dinner to you afterwards, we're going to send a letter to Calvin that says what the value, how much money Best and Krieger and the like spent on you. And so you have to write that down on your end of the year form. So, and the way that, just in case you get confused, this dinner is one we put on with an environmental consulting firm. So when Calvin gives you the letter, if you attend, it splits it up into half best and figure, half from the consulting firm. Just in case you wonder what that was all about. So, and we know what the dollar limits are. We don't go over the dollar limits because we don't want to get you or us in trouble.
You want a roll call of who's calling?
Or you can, if you can't decide, you know, November 22nd is the deadline, but I prefer we do it right now.
I work graveyards, so I can't make it from Anaheim to Fontana in enough time to get to it. So I don't
know. Sorry. Doggy bag from Calvin.
I'll be going. Plus one.
Alan?
I don't know yet.
Teresa?
I'm not.
Nope.
Wow. So you got one so far. Okay.
Got it.
It's on Saturday, huh?
No, it's on a Wednesday.
It's on a Wednesday.
Or Tuesday? Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Then you go.
Yeah, put me down. I usually got Wednesdays off.
I'll have to look at the work schedule to see how many I'm working that night. I might be able to get
somebody to switch with
you.
My graveyard is not an easy switch.
You may bring a guest too, one guest.
Well, it's going against traffic at least.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to leave there by 8:30.
We'll put you at the head of the line.
Wouldn't be so bad except my wife would be with me, right? So I'd have to like leave my one car at work, drive down there, and then ride back, kick her out, or I'd be jump
someone
out.
Can give a ride home.
Take the day off.
Someone give a ride home.
Uh-huh.
We could see Sarah's maybe make sure she gets her get her a ride home.
Sarah, you gonna go?
I don't know yet. Okay. Yeah.
Next item on the agenda. Discussion action, trunk or treat. Board to approve the amount to fund the district staff and the district staff to participate in the community event. Are we going to give something to that?
Nobody's asking for a donation or any kind. We're just asking for staff for keeping and candy. That's all we're asking for. Staff and candy.
Didn't it last month we discussed it in an hour?
I don't know.
Did we discuss it either in September or August?
No, you brought it up during board comments last summer.
That was for Christmas.
He kept her terms of tea.
And before we vote, I'm going to sustain myself from it.
I'm going to do the thing.
but this is during a weekday, right?
It's Sunday the 30th.
So the staff would have to volunteer to come. And that's going to be up to the staff. It's not something that the mandatory is saying you need to lead it. So that's up to the staff to decide whether they want to volunteer.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot myself in the foot, but last year the board directed me to be there and pass out candy.
Be there?
You did.
Yeah, remember, I'm in slavery. I'm in salary.
I'm not going to force you to do something like that. That's your own call.
Okay, well, how about if I volunteer if you guys decide to?
Excuse me?
I volunteer.
Okay.
If you guys, if the board decides to front the, consider, you know, fronting the funds to for the candy.
Well, last year, didn't we run out of candy or something? And go.
First 15, 20 minutes.
How many pounds did you have?
Last year, we bought $150 in candy.
Everybody ran out of candy, though.
In 15 minutes.
Everybody did.
In 15 minutes, we ran out of candy.
I remember.
There was kids in, lined up from the front of our door all the way to the corner of Irene and around the corner to the, almost to the driveway of the fire station.
Tell them, would three be good?
Huh? So, do you guys.
Commotion.
Yeah, make a motion to donate $300.
To the trunk or treat. I second.
But the stipulation is we have no cost that incurs dental.
What? There's what?
No dental cost.
No dental cost.
Roll call vote. Director Guy. Director Leavis.
Aye.
Director Lee.
Aye.
Let me go get them.
Point of privilege will take a couple minutes.
They already left to go smoke their cigarettes.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Go potty. Right?
Okay.
We're going to take a few minutes of restroom break, Mr. Pryor.
What's that?
We're going to take a few minutes restroom break.
State the time. And state the time.
7:10.
7 p.m.